Happy anniversary, guys. Yeah, can you believe we are 13? We're 13. Somebody, I think it was Alex, you asked me, like, PB, can you believe we're 13? Echo was officially a teenager. Yeah. And I was saying, you know, I really hope that we don't start acting like one. Because I have one at home, and it's a very, there you are. It's a very explosive environment when you have a teenager. Just want you to know that. But then, just like how proud I am of my daughter, who is 14, and she's a teenager, she not only has, I just want you to know, you have very extreme highs and lows, okay? And not only do you have extreme highs and lows, but check this out, she's also very responsible. And that's what a teenager, you know, you love that, right? That's what teenager is. Like, we're at that stage where we can contribute to the house and we can carry the weight. And so I am so proud. When we started 13 years ago, Pastor TJ, I don't know if you remember, but we didn't even know how to get a nonprofit status. And we went to LA and we were like, what do we do? And somehow you figured it out, and we're legitimate, right? We have a nonprofit status. Okay, I just want to check. So anyways, let's pray, guys. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. I thank you for the old faces that are here, the new faces that are here. I thank you for members that were able to journey thus far all the way to this year, and even for members who couldn't, who had to move or had to leave. I pray that you bless every person that was part of this house, whether they're here or not. And I pray for your blessing to overflow from this church to everyone that you love. We love you and we welcome you. And this, Lord, is about you. More than about this church, it's really about you. We're celebrating that you have been with us and that you have covered us all these years. We love you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the anniversary message is really, I would say, a closure to the Good News series. How many of you guys enjoyed the Good News series? Yeah? You have to say yes because it's the gospel, okay? So you can't say no. So it's like saying, how many of you guys love the gospel of Jesus Christ? You're like, nah, right? No, you can't do that. So everyone loved the Good News series. Can I hear an amen? Yes, so Good News season, and we're going to end it today, and I believe that today's word about the good news of Jesus Christ is not only relevant, but it really captures what we're trying to do today as a church, as we celebrate Jesus and as we celebrate the God who has been faithful to us all these years. Amen? So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 14, and the title is called Never Enough. Okay. One Sabbath, everyone say Sabbath. When Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. There's an important word there, prominent Pharisee. He was not a nobody. Okay, he was a somebody. Okay. He was being carefully watched. So the Pharisee, a prominent Pharisee, gets a feast together on the Sabbath day. It's a big party. It's an important party. And Jesus is the guest of honor. And he is being watched. He is being observed. Verse 2, there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Abnormal swelling of his body. Another version that I like. It says that, behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy. Everyone say the dropsy. That's not a breakdance move. The dropsy. No, that's a disease, okay? I'm going to tell you what it is soon. He had the dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Is it righteous? Is it lawful for me to deal with this right now in this party in front of all of you? Because he knows he was being tested, because you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day. Verse 4, but they remain silent. Why? Because they want to see What this Jesus be doing? We're going to catch you. We're watching you. We actually set you up for this. So they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him, and then he sent him away. Very, very interesting. Jesus does not make a scene about this healing. He heals this man on the Sabbath day, and then he shushes him away. Unlike the other healings where there's things going on and interactions going on with the guy who was healed, Jesus actually heals this man and goes, hey, man with the dropsy, you can go now. I'm a deal with the Pharisees. What's happening? Then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? Isn't this obvious? This man is sick. This man is hurting. Wouldn't you do something about it? This is such an obvious issue or situation. And then, as you see, Jesus completely silenced them. He completely embarrasses them. And it says in verse 6, and they had nothing to say. This is the word of the Lord. What is happening here? Here's what's happening. And here's why it's so relevant to the Good News series. The Pharisees invite Jesus, and they're like, man, this is a prominent party from this Pharisee. It's a religious party. Everyone who's anyone is going to be there. And because anyone and everyone's going to be there, this is a great chance for us to connect, to hook up with other leaders, and advance in this religious society. But let's test Jesus. Let's put Jesus in the center where the most prominent honor, a guest of honor has to sit. And then let's trick him by putting someone who's sick. And let's see what he does in this setting amongst religious and righteous people. And what does Jesus do? Jesus, the test that they put him in backfires on them because Jesus heals him of dropsy. Now, you got to understand, if they brought anyone else, any other kind of disease, this moment would not have been a very teachable moment that Jesus could take advantage of. But the fact that they brought a man with dropsy, he takes advantage of it, and it backfires on the Pharisee. And here is what I mean. Here is what I mean. Dropsy. What is dropsy? Dropsy is the abnormal swelling of the body parts. It's caused by heart failure, guys. And what's interesting is that in the classical age, especially in first century Palestine, the physicians at this time knew that there was this ironic connection between dropsy and thirst. What does this mean? They knew that if you had the disease dropsy, you are filled with water. You are swelling with water. But they also knew that the more you drink to quench your, I hope you get this, the more you drink to quench your thirst, the more swelling or dropsy you experience. The smart ones right now automatically got it. The rest of you are like, what? And right now you're saying, I'm the smart one. I got it. I'm going to test you. What is it? You don't know. The unquenchable craving for drink, though the body is inflated with fluid, a craving which, when indulged, serves not to ease but to feed the disease. What is dropsy? The more you have, the more you want. The more you drink, the more you thirst. And these Pharisees put a dropsy man in front of Jesus in a setting where they're always craving for more and more power, satisfaction, statuses. Come on, somebody. And they, in their stupidity, puts the man with dropsy in front of Jesus, thinking that they're going to get Jesus. They've cornered Jesus. And Jesus heals and turns it around and says, you think tonight is about this guy and me being tested? This is really about you. Because I'm going to heal this guy, and I'm going to show you that I'm here actually to heal you. Because what you don't realize is, it's not just this man who has dropsy, it's you that have the spiritual dropsy. Can I get an amen? The ancients compared money lovers to dropsies, as dropsies, though filled with fluid, crave drink. So money lovers, though loaded with money, crave more of it. Yet both to their demise, for their cravings, for their desires increase the more they acquire the object of their cravings. How relevant is this for us today? Willie Braun, in Feasting and Social Rhetoric in Luke chapter 14, says dropsy is a symptom of the addiction to luxury. What is dropsy? You know what dropsy is? It's the addiction to satisfaction. It's the addiction for more. It's our addiction to power, to pleasure, for positions. And the Pharisees thought that they were tricking Jesus, that they had Jesus cornered. But through this healing, Jesus was exposing them of a great disease that they needed to be healed of. That no matter how religious they were, come on somebody, they were truly bound and enslaved to their addiction for more. So I looked up, how do you know if you're a drug addict? That's what I do for my job, guys. I'm in my room preparing a sermon and I go, so how does one know that they're an addict? And did you know there's websites where you can test yourself? By the way, don't test yourself because you'll find out you're an addict. I tested myself over and over again. I said, there's something wrong with this, and I am an addict. But I loved question number 11 because there's a lot of questions, by the way, but question number 11 I love because it says something like this from the addict assessment test online. It says, this is how you know you're an addict or you may have spiritual dropsy. Have you experienced diminished effects when you use drugs or alcohol compared to the past? Or have you needed more drugs or alcohol in order to feel the effects you're seeking? What does this mean? It means, has your tolerance increased as you keep pursuing that thing you think is going to satisfy you? Do you need more of it for you to have some of the feeling you used to have? So I began to go, oh my God, I need more nachos every night. I need more food every night. I'm a full-blown Mexican food addict. Here's how I know. Because every week I go, that was not enough, honey. Three tacos did not satisfy. And so we say, no, we cannot experience that tonight. We must get four. We must get five. We must get six. And then we toss the table and go, it's not satisfying. And we do this with drugs. We do this with sexual pleasures. We do this with religion. Come on, somebody. We do this with friendships and people. We find ourselves that the more we have it, the less we are satisfied, and the more of it we need to get some of the pleasure we used to experience. PB, this is great, but I'm not an addict. How do I know if I have at least spiritual dropsy? Who wants to know? Because if you have it, it's good news that Jesus is real. I just want you to know this is about good news, okay? So here's how I know, because Jesus gives an actual spiritual addiction test. Did you know that? It's not online. It's in the Bible, okay? It's in Matthew chapter 25. And he's talking about a day when he judges creation and he judges the people of God. And he says some are not going to make it. Some will actually be denied access to the presence of the Father. And then he begins to describe who they are. And he says, I'm going to say to those on my left, and those on his left are the ones that are judged, okay? He says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. My goodness. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And you're like, how is this a test for dropsy? He explains, then I will also answer saying, they will also answer. These now are the people getting tested. They'll say, Lord, here's the word. Here's the word. It's on the screen. When? Everyone say, when? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, or in prison? And did not minister to you? When did this happen? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I will say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. How do I know, PB, that I have an addiction like this man with dropsy? How do I know that I have a spiritual addiction like the Pharisees who want to test Jesus that day? How do I know? Jesus says it right here. Do you know how you know? You have no time. When you are a spiritual addict, and you are enslaved to your own vices, you have no time for the things that God cares about. Those of you that are new or visiting and you're thinking, what a great anniversary sermon. This church, not so cool. I just want you to know this is what we're about. How do I know, PB, that I have addiction to luxury, to satisfaction, to promotions and positions, everything but God? You say things like this: I have no time for this. I don't have any money for this. I can barely take care of my family. I have no emotional bandwidth for this. Of these statements, time is the most telling of spiritual dropsy. We live in a generation where Christians have never experienced this much blessing materially, in power, in positions. Come on, somebody. And we have the audacity to say to God, we have no problems. We have no vices. We are in no need of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ because what? We're okay. But when we are tested, come on, somebody. Jesus will look and say, how come you had no time? And time is the measure of your dropsy. How do I know this? Because time, how you use time, is how you see God. When you're dating, and your boyfriend or girlfriend never makes time for you, and then you question, you have the audacity to say, what the heck, dude? How come you have time for everything but me? Right? And that person can say, your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend can say, I love you. You know I love you. You just got to believe that I love you. What would all of us say? Make some time. Make some time. Time is the most holy, holy of things. Before God sanctified and consecrated a tabernacle, a place, he consecrated and sanctified time. That's the first thing God calls holy in Genesis. He calls the Sabbath day holy. He calls time holy. Before we had a temple, before we had a religion, before we had doctrines, he said, time is the temple you occupy. And time is what tells me what you really love. So dropsy is primarily concerned about getting ahead, getting more access, and getting more attention. And this is how I know this moment is about dropsy. Because after Jesus heals this man with dropsy, he looks at the Pharisees and he doesn't mention dropsy. He doesn't mention the swelling. You know what he mentions? He tells an odd parable right after this man is, if I was Jesus and this man with dropsy is healed, I would say, look, let's talk about swelling for a second, people. Let's talk about healing of the body. You know what he says? He shushes the man away and he says, can I tell you a parable about time? About people who make banquets and sets up a huge banquet, but they make no time for the hurting, and they only ask people, prominent people, that will help them advance in society. And he says, don't be people like that. I'm paraphrasing. But he says, don't be people like that. He tells a parable about parties. He tells a parable about banquets. He tells a parable about dinners. Dinners like they're having that night. And he says, when you do this, don't do this. When you do this, don't do this where you only invite people that will make you better, stronger, bigger, brighter, more successful, and more satisfied in life. When you do this, make some room for those that don't advance you, because when you do that, you will show that you are healed of dropsy. Can I get an amen? Who wants to be healed of dropsy? This is why it's good news. This is why it's good news, because I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I go, I don't have enough of this. I want more of this. If I just had more of X, Y, and Z, that society, that religion, and that I myself crave inside of me. But Jesus in me completes everything in me. This is why this is good news, because finally in life I can be content. I can be filled. I can be happy. I can be satisfied. So satisfied, I can pay attention to others. This is why it's good news. Somebody is so satisfying that we will never thirst again. Jesus says it like this. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Can I get an amen? You see, church is not a place full of perfect people. Church is a place, hopefully full of people who are being healed of dropsy. This 13th year, we're not celebrating, oh, Echo is great, or what are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? You know what we're celebrating? We're celebrating the God who has healed me of addictions to this world. The God who fills this empty soul. The God who meets all the cravings of my heart. He alone is my satisfaction. This is what Echo is about. Before it's about anything else, it's about you being filled with the living God. You getting a taste of the living water. You chewing on the living bread. And you walking out of here going, I am actually full. I am so satisfied. This is what we're celebrating. So PB, let's land the plane, yeah? Let's end this series. This whole good news series, we didn't mention something very significant. And I'm going to mention it now. How does the good news, the healing of dropsy, and all the beautiful messages that we heard from all the pastors, how does this all connect to the Roman cross? Because you know that Christianity's number one symbol, I hope you know this. You're like, but I thought it was Tupac's sign. I thought it was Madonna's sign. I don't know any new people, so, you know, I thought it was these folks. You know, I thought it was a symbol of this or that. No. The sign that symbolizes our faith is the cross. And you're thinking, how does the cross signify the good news of us being healed of dropsy, us being healed of wanting more, having more, needing more? How does the Roman cross represent this? Let me read this to you. I'm quoting a well-known pastor from Fullerton named PB. Rome's dropsy represented the apex of human greed, human consumption, human excess. Rome's cross was the show of force, the military symbol that basically communicated that any who gets in the way of their desire for more will be destroyed. The cross that legitimized Rome's excessive greed, and excessive consumption to the detriment of the others. The cross is what legitimized it. The cross is what said, we deserve and will have everything we ever want. And those that get in our way, you will face this. You will face this. It's not an accident that Jesus died on a Roman cross. When I talk to folks, I often ask, why didn't Jesus die in a Jewish temple? When Jesus, as we know, is the prophesied Passover lamb, right? He's the one that the Jews were waiting for to atone them from all their sins. Why didn't he die in a Jewish temple? Why did he die on a foreign cross, on an execution chair, on a cross from Rome? Because he was healing the world of something. And he was destroying what? The power that said we can have it all at the expense of others. That cross, that empire, the apex of human dropsy could not overcome Jesus. Jesus rises from dropsy's biggest blow. He rises to set us free from the grip of spiritual dropsy. His resurrection cancels the thirst of dropsy, the sting of death, the need for more. His defeat of death breaks us free from our dependence on more love, more affection, more likes, more respect, more money, a bigger house. Come on, somebody. And that echo, and the defeat of that echo, is good news. Do you accept the good news of Jesus Christ? It's not Jesus trying to get you to suffer or to steal satisfactions from you. He's trying to loosen your grip from all the vices that will never satisfy. And then he defeats the symbol that legitimizes that violent consumption. And he says, I'm the bread, I'm the water, and I'm here, and I have overcome, and I will come inside of you if you let me. And this is good news. So today, I know we usually give gifts and stuff, and we will. We'll do something really quick, but I want us to respond today to the cross as 13-year-olds now, okay? As people who are more responsible, okay? This is how I want us to do it. If you look at the screen, before I do the gifts, guys, can we show the organizations available? This is what I want us to do. Scripture actually gives us a remedy, or should I say a vaccination, to prevent us from having dropsy. In the Old Testament, God says to Israelites, you know what he says to them? He says, someday you're going to have land, you're going to have homes, you're going to have a lot that satisfies and makes you successful and makes you feel secure. He says this in the Old Testament. He says, when you get to that place and you have that kind of abundance, he says, don't forget the poor. Don't forget the hurting, because if you do, you will be infected with dropsy. And then he gives a practice. He says to the Leviticus people, he says to the people of Israel, you know, he says, when you get into the promised land, this is how I want you to do it. This is how I want you to make sure you don't get infected with dropsy. You're like, how, Lord? He says this. He says, when you reap your harvest, when your land is plentiful, he says this. He says, make sure you don't reap all of it. He says, make sure at the edges of your farm, at the edges of your land, make sure you don't reap and uproot those. Leave some behind for the hurting and the poor. The rest of it, you can totally take in. Enjoy, man, be satisfied. Be blessed by your God who gave you all those crops. But on the edges of it, don't take it all. Leave some margin. When you look at your calendar and it fits a symbol of your farmland, and God has blessed you with plenty, and you have so much money, time, and all these things to spend it on time. When you look at your calendar, do you have margin? Or is your month just packed to the rafters? Is your month just all the way to the edges of the land, and every part of that month time is allotted for you and your advancement or your joy? Come on, somebody. God teaches us, you don't want to get spiritual dropsy again. I will heal you, but you must also follow my lifestyle. And the lifestyle is this: make room and make margin. So this is what I want you to do from now on, Echo. First of all, this month, I want you to do this. Today, Olive Crest gave us 50 kids that we can take care of during Christmas and fulfill their wish list. 50 kids from Olive Crest that don't have what you and I have. 50 kids we can fulfill their wish list and say, hey, kid, I'm healed of dropsy. Jesus is my everything. All the edges of my life, I have set aside for you. 50 kids, I believe today, when you go to that table on your way out, done. Showing Jesus, thank you, 13 years, you are my everything. I have no need. I have no wants, because I have a shepherd in you. Second, this season, in the next week or two, I believe it's the next week, right? Los Angeles Mission, they asked us, can food drive? Everyone can participate throughout Advent season. You can bring a non-perishable food to church, and we will take it to them, and people will eat. And we will show God and show ourselves we are healed of dropsy. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it's not that hard. It's just not that hard. Dad, what are you doing? Why are these cans in the garage? Oh, because Jesus is our everything. He has fulfilled all of our needs. We have no need. God satisfies us. Who's going to do this? Anyone who hasn't raised their hand, I want you to write there. No, I was kidding. Those of you that are new, I'm telling you, we operate out of shame in this church. All right. And then this month and this year, there's one more recess gathering this month. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I know I don't have much time. I don't have much time. I was told I don't have much time today. Do I have much time? Fine. My staff exists to tell me what I can't do. Recess, guys. You guys all know what recess is? If you have not signed up and been trained for recess, you need to do so. This is our church's mission. PB, why did you pick recess? PB, why recess? Let's do something more sexy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Let's do something more like just nitty-gritty and let's go to Africa. Everyone wants to go to Africa, right? Africa, let me tell you something. I've been there. They don't want you. They don't want you. We ruined other countries. Come on, somebody. Why recess? Recess is so mundane. It's so hard. It's so like, it's just so boring. We're just watching these kids. As you know, recess is where we host and provide respite for families dealing with different abilities in their home, whether mentally or physically. Come on, somebody. You know why I picked recess for this church? Because it takes time. It takes your precious Saturday's time. And when you give that time and you're sitting there building little blocks with this kid and you're saying, I could be doing so much more, that's when you go, oh, I needed this. I need healing from my dropsy. For these 4 hours, I thought I can advance a little more, get a little more pleasure, get a little more satisfaction. But God, you are using these kids to slow me down, to remind me I am healed of dropsy. My goal is that every member of our church will sign up for recess today. That's my goal. PB, you must feel so successful. 13 years together. Nope. I only count today successful if every one of you signs up for recess. If every one of you signs up, I will say, what a successful year. If you don't, I'm going to post, I am a failure. I'm going to post my face and go, dear world, you're looking at a failed pastor. So we have one more in December you can come and be with. And then if not, if you haven't been trained, get trained, okay? So that next year you can provide it. If 20% of us did it per month, I'm telling you, this church, dropsy would have no room in this church. Last one. I know you're like, man, that's a lot. Be quiet. You're addicted to dropsy, okay? Safe families. You guys know what safe families, right? Safe family, you literally bring in a child who's going through hardship with their parents, and you host that child in your house, and you guys are like, that's really scary. No, you know what's scary? Is being in their position is scary, right? If you have a house, you qualify, okay? If you have a job, you have a brain, you qualify. If you don't burn yourself on the stove, you qualify. These kids come to our home. I mean, Nixon, Kelly, tell them. They come to our house with no socks, no shoes. They have nothing. And they live in the most prosperous nation in the world that says they've been healed of dropsy. What liars we are. We host these kids in our home and they interfere with our little schedules so that we can say to God, we acknowledge you as our good news. We acknowledge you as the one that has healed us of all dissatisfactions and addictions. Can I get an amen? Amen? Yeah. But tell your dad, Don, that, okay? But tell, I don't want you to leave until he signs up, okay? Right now, I want you to ask yourself before we do this little exercise, do I have time? If you don't, I want you to make time. Do I have the money? You have the money. Do I have what it takes? You do, because Christ lives in you. Echo, we're 13. People expect churches to be a ruckus, a place of division, strife when we hit this age. You know that? Let's show the world we have no time for that because we're busy doing what Jesus loves. No amen? Yeah, amen. So I'm going to pass this out. I'm going to close with this. You're going to love this. I'm going to pass out a cross. And they're tattoos. Temporary tattoos. Hey, don't worry. Some of you more religious ones are like, what? I can't believe we're doing a tattoo at church. These are temporary, okay? This one I had for a week and a half. You could barely see it. It's going to go away. And I showered a lot, and it's still here. Why am I giving you a cross and not some other gift this year? Because I want you this week to be reminded of your healing, of the good news that this Roman cross was defeated by Jesus our Lord, that forever we are healed of dropsy. So wherever you want it, some of you need to put it on your forehead, okay? Like James, you need to put it on your forehead, okay? JP, you need two of these, okay? I'm just kidding. Put it wherever you can see it. I'm going to put it on my wrist here. And then you'll have this what is this called? Toilette? Whatever, right? Toilettes. These wipes. And you put the wipes on. And we're going to end with the cross on us. That's how I want to end tonight or today. Okay? Did you guys pass it out? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. So you peel off that plastic. You get that little wipe. There you go. Some of you are putting it on your necks. That's good. Get it on you. And I know some of you already have a tattoo. Oh, you're so cool. Okay, I get it. You guys are like, I don't need one. I have one. Okay, I get it. But just put one, okay? Just do one. Get it on you. Heidi, how am I doing on time? Are we done? Do we worship or do I just close soon? What? Close? Okay. Just put it on for like 30 seconds. Look, it's done. Look how nice and clean it is. This is not for anyone else. This is for you. I want you to see this every day and go, I am healed. I have the good news of Jesus. He satisfies me. This is the good news. Jesus has defeated the cross of Rome. He is my bread of life. He is the living water. When you're ready, I want you to show it to me like this, and I'm going to pray for you. Yeah. Or wherever it's on you. If it's on your chest, I don't want to see it. Okay. All right. Isn't this fun? I'm like so going to get a real one now. Right? Yeah. I'm going to get three, honey. I'm going to go one, two, and three like this. The three crosses on the hill, right? All right. So you guys know at the end of every service, what do I say in the benediction? The Father bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what? And you guys all know where that comes from, right? Church history says that the bishops used to say, the cross, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may Christ be victorious in your life. And what do they mean by this? May God win, and may all your false addictions and desires lose. May he win your heart. That's what it means when I say, may Christ be victorious in you. I'm not saying go out there and conquer the world. I'm saying let God conquer you. Let's pray. Father, what a great day under the sun, God, under this tent reminds us, God, of the tabernacle, of the Israelites roaming in the desert. And like them, you have been with us every step of the way. I thank you that we've made it this far, but we have so much to do and so much more to go. But we can't proceed, Lord, with this addiction to this world, with our vices for more. We ask that the good news be real to us today. and that the power displayed on this cross be in us today. Thank you for these 13 years. We welcome you for the next 13. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen, church. Happy birthday. Look at this every day. Tell yourself, God is in me.